attracted to? What turns you on, do you know? Google might. And so might Ogi Ogus. He is a computational neuroscientist who, with his colleague Sai Gadam, spent years analyzing the erotic habits of web users, all with the aim of reverse engineering human sexual desire. With billions of web searches and millions of websites to study, Ogus had a data set that might have turned Alfred Kinsey green with envy.
This was really the first time scientists could see what people were truly and really interested in. Completely new data, completely new insights. And that's why we found things that were very, very surprising.
So what were some of the surprises?
So different surprises for men and for women, and different kinds of surprises. Some of the surprises for men was the age of women that men were looking for. Now, no surprise, the most common age range that guys are looking for is young women. But what surprised us was the popularity of older women, women in their 40s, women in their 50s, even in their 60s, all have very sizable fan bases among men. Another surprise was body size, body shape, very important for the male sexual brain. Most popular is average body size, but heavy women turn out to be very, very popular. There was three times as many searches for fat girls as there is for skinny girls. Extremely popular, again, in every country that we looked at.
And yet we've always heard that there is kind of this ideal, from a heterosexual male perspective, sort of this ideal female body shape, you know, the large bust, the slender waist, and so on. Are you saying that's not necessarily the case?
The heavy women that do appear in the erotic material, they also have proportions that are similar to sort of the stereotype idea of a woman. It's like a supersized representation of the ideal woman.
Now, the other thing that I found interesting is apparently men are really turned on just by visual cues. I mean, it just boom, you know, it just triggers sexual desire, whereas apparently that does not work at all for women.
That's right. So that's a fundamental difference between the male sexual brain and the female sexual brain. Male sexual brain definitely wired to be very aroused by the sight of things. And many, many websites devoted to one specific visual cue. For example, breasts. You know, there's websites where you go and they're pictures, just pictures of breasts and nothing else. There's no women that are looking at page after page of a man's buttocks or a man's chest. There's just doesn't exist. And it turns out, gay porn is identical to straight male porn. It's absolutely indistinguishable. The only difference is that it's the man that's the center of attention rather than the woman. So in every country in the world we looked at, straight men search for four body parts. It's breasts, butts, feet, and then the real surprising one is penises. Hmm. Penis is extraordinarily popular.
Really, four straight men?
That's right, yes. Men search for penises pretty much just as often as they search for vaginas in sexual searches. He just wants there to be a large penis in the picture. But these four body parts, chests, buttocks, feet, and penis, same four body parts that gay men search for. Hmm.
So we've been talking about male desire, female desire. Now, one point of clarification, my understanding is your research was mainly just on heterosexual women, right?
That's right. Our research was heavily data-driven, you know, massive data, and also looking at neuroscience, a lot of abstract sort of things. But we always try to anchor it by actually talking to people. And we just had a lot of trouble. I think the reason why is two heterosexual men trying to find out sexual details about lesbian preferences, there was just a wariness about it. As a result, we just didn't get the kind of data that we felt comfortable with.
Well, I want to follow up on what you were saying about what you did find out about straight women.
So the single most popular erotic artifact for women in the world is the romance novel. And just about as many women buy romance novels as men look at online pornography. In the romance novels, there's always a very consistent pattern. There's a dominant, powerful male who have a secret soft side that the heroine, through the course of the story, has to help the man get in touch with.
I saw you give a talk, and you described it as the coconut.
You got to tame the wild coconut. The romance hero is hard and tough on the outside and soft and gooey on the inside. And it's up, but it's only the heroine can access that soft, gooey interior. That's part of the story. That's part of the romance. It's part of the female archetype of the romance. It's this unique woman. Only she has the power to crack open the man's coconut.
And you said one of the other things I know you found about women is that one of the things that really turns them on is being desired.
Absolutely. So, you know, women are certainly focused on the man, but they also are highly sensitive to their own feelings, especially how the man's making them feel inside. So very important for a woman to feel she's sexually desirable.
You talk about the sexual desires of heterosexual women as the Miss Marple detective agency. Can you explain what you mean there?
Certainly. So for the male sexual brain, just the sight of one specific thing can be enough to turn a man on. But for the female brain, it requires more information. It requires multiple cues. And the female brain is designed to constantly try to solicit more and more information. What happened in his past, you know, are his social claims, you know, valid? Is he kind or is he pretending to be kind? The female brain has to act like a detective to get answers to these questions before she's willing to have sex with the man.
As I listen to you, I wonder how much of this is biological because, you know, you think about the porn industry or the entertainment industry that trades on sexual and romantic fantasies. Is this culturally determined in some way?
So let me talk about that because that's a very profound question and probably the most important question that we were trying to tackle with this broad body of research. I'd say the answer is mostly biological, but with some qualifications. So for men, it pretty much is biological. The visual things that they're interested in, they're consistent across cultures. And the other thing is that men's sexual interest seem to become fixated sometime in adolescence, and then they don't change for the rest of his life. For a woman, what makes an ideal partner is very context-dependent. Women are much more flexible and adaptive in their sexual interests. So women are, in fact, more open to cultural influences in what they find to be sexually arousing.
So what does all this sex research mean for romance, for men and women, straight or not?
Sexual desire seems to be the engine for romance. I mean, what's the biological function of romance? It's to create this irrational basis for a long-term relationship. And I say irrational because you don't think logically anymore. You know, you're designed not to think logically anymore. You think the person's fantastic and perfect and one of a kind and that you're going to be with them forever and you'll do anything for them. All that's designed to promote long-term bonding with someone and to facilitate sexual production. Certainly, romance is much more than just the sexual attraction, but unless you have powerful sexual attraction, usually the romance doesn't really take wing.
That's Steve Paulson talking with Ogie Ogus. His book is called A Billion Wicked Thoughts. An extended version of his interview is available on our website, ttbook.org.